Good day, everyone. Welcome to a special audio interview on bullmarketrun.com. I'm John Hallstein. Joining us on the line from his office in St. Catharines, Ontario, is Harold Smith, President and CEO of Curry Rose Resources, CUI, on the TSX Venture Exchange. Curry Rose has been a heavy trader since mid-August, actually, when investors started to see the company was about to become much more active at its gold properties in Tanzania, where the company has been exploring since 2005. There is so much to discuss regarding Curry Rose that we asked Harold for a second interview after we spoke with him initially about a week ago. So, Harold, it's great to have you back on BMR.
Hi, John. Thanks for having me back.
I guess the first question, the first obvious question, Harold, is how things are going at Susie River, where a 3,000-meter RC drill program began a couple of weeks ago. I know you can't get into specifics, but is there anything generally you can tell us or update us on with regard to the drilling program at Susie River?
We're on schedule as far as the drilling goes. Talking to Menon, he's very pleased with the rig we got. They're doing a great job, very efficient. So we're right on target.
Great. Can we expect an update maybe in the form of a news release in the near future?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, we'll do an update on what's going on there.
Good. Now, correct me if I'm wrong, but I'm just going to read you sort of our interpretation of the geological structure that you're drilling into right now at Susie River. A very interesting target, highly prospective, hosted within felsic volcanic rocks, generally considered to be favorable hosts for gold and greenstone belts around the world. Rock chip sampling by a previous operator returned values as high as 553 grams per ton gold. That's amazing. Random grab samples recently collected by Curry Rose's geologist over an area 150 meters by 30 meters also returned interesting numbers, with 6 of 13 results grading better than 5 grams per ton gold, including one as high as 89 grams per ton. Gold is present at Susie River. It's close to surface. Local miners made their own discovery recently. The gold appears to be disseminated throughout the rock. In other words, it does not appear that you're chasing a narrow vein structure here. Does that sound accurate?
That's correct. The rock that was found a couple years ago by others actually was a geologist that worked for Sub-Sahara, who were our joint ventures partners before we bought them out. Mm-hmm. And Alistair banged that off a rock in the river, and very close to where we're drilling now, and we're drilling on both sides of the river. So we have his sample that he found a number of years ago, along with the samples that were taken out of the pits. So we're definitely right around the target.
A 2005 technical report, Harold, stated in so many words that there is mineralization at Susie River. This is certainly a promising target. You're definitely not drilling into cow pasture. And your challenge, obviously, is to determine the initial extent of that mineralization.
That's always the question, John, and only the drills will tell us.
Yeah. Susie River is part of your Mabali Hills project, Harold, which you are going to be exploring aggressively. Of course, it also includes Mamazengo, where you made a discovery about 5 years ago. The geological environment appears very similar to Anglo Gold's Gaida mine, about 80 kilometers to the northeast.
That's correct. It's the same as same greenstone belt, same structure, and it's solidified quartz porphyry, same type of rock, same type of geology.
You made a near-surface discovery in 2005. At this time, you're very excited about the depth potential at Mamazengo.
Yes, we know it's plunging to the south. That's where we sort of lost it. And what we want to do, Mike Griffiths, who's the director in Geo in Curry, is in Eritrea right now using some new equipment that's just come out. It's a IP that goes very, very deep. And he thinks it's the ideal equipment to look underneath the gold that we found and see what's down there. It'll give us a much better idea of what kind of geology we got down there.
Now, southeast of Mabali Hills, you have what I consider to be a fascinating and highly prospective land package surrounding two former mines. Let's go into some detail now regarding the Sakanki project. First, what's the distance between Mabali Hills and Sakanki, roughly?
It's 200 k's to the southeast of us.
Mm-hmm.
Same type of geology. It's in the greenstone belt.
Mm-hmm.
Very similar rocks. Very similar structure.
Two former mines are there that your property surrounds. the Sakanki mine, a pretty active producer in the first half of the 20th century, and they got some really nice grades out of there as well. That was one of the very original mines in Tanzania, correct?
Yes, that's correct. And when that mine was running, the Germans were very heavy in Tanzania. And the story goes that the Germans made a lot of their gold coins from the gold that came out of that mine.
Yeah. I think it produced about 140,000 ounces. We talked about this last week.
Yes, it did, yeah.
We talked about this last week. You know, one of the best ways to find a new mine is to look near a former mine. And quite likely, they did not even discover the main deposit at Sakanki. And quite likely, there are definitely extensions to this deposit.
Exactly. I mean, back then, John, they didn't have any equipment. They were working with picks and shovels, no different than the locals are doing now. And they just followed veins and structure or whatever they could see. With the sophisticated equipment that we've got now, it makes a huge difference. Where we've mapped up there in Sakanki, we think the Sakanki mine quite possibly was on the edge of the gold field. Time will tell. What we've discovered up there is from our sampling, which is pretty impressive samples, and these two quartz structure dikes, reefs rather, running 12 kilometers long, and they're covering an area of 800 meters wide. It's pretty substantial.
Yeah, and investors who are listening right now, we actually have it up on our website. That's the map from the Curry Rose website that shows your claims at Sakanki, and there is a rather long yellow line, I think just to the east-northeast of the former Sakanki mine, and that is the structure that you're referring to, correct?
Yes, correct, yes.
12 kilometers by 800 yep. meters, and it is a quartz reef structure, and they can host a lot of gold.
Absolutely, and there's a number of them. We're not sure how many, but it's 800 meters wide. So, you know, whether there's 20 in there or 30, we don't know. And they're coming pretty close to surface in some areas. They're a couple meters down.
Yeah.
So it'll be easy to get at.
What really jumps out at me, Harold, and investors can see this for themselves as we speak, is the fact the quartz reef structure Curry Rose has identified on its property is much larger in comparison to those that exist at the two former mines.
On the two old existing mines, the quartz reef is nowhere near the size of ours. Ours is 12 kilometers. And if you look at those two, you might be talking 2 kilometers. We've just put a new corporate presentation on our website and on the Sakanki joint venture. You can see that plan.
Yeah, and again, we've got that up on our website right now, so people can actually look at it as we're talking.
That's right.
And you made a very good point there, because you know, that long yellow line up top represents the structure that you've identified, much larger than what exists at these former two mines. So, I mean, that again underscores the blue sky potential of this property.
Absolutely.
So you're completely surrounding two former gold mines. There's one a little bit further to the east, which had some production also in the first half of the 20th century.
Yes. Yep.
And then you've got the former Sakanki mine. And now this is a joint venture. Tell us about the details regarding this joint venture.
The joint venture is with a company called Sakanki. It's a private company. It's two fellows from that live in Tanzania. We own 30% of the property right now, and we have the opportunity to earn up to 75%.
And you've done some work already. Part of that work obviously identified that large structure, so you got some very promising results already on this.
Absolutely. We had people up there for about 2.5 months working. We did a lot of sampling, as I mentioned last week. I think it was like 1,300 soil samples. So we've done a lot of work there. We're just gearing up now for a second phase. Mike is reviewing all the data. We're going to either do some IP in there, trenching, whatever. What we want to do is prepare the property so that we can drill first thing in the spring.
There's definitely some high grade there. I mean, the former Sakanki mine, I think, averaged around 14 or 15 grams per ton.
That's correct. correct. Yeah.
And I saw some old reports that talked about you know, as much as 2 ounces of gold 500 feet down. So there's some nice high grades there.
Very, very nice high grades.
Yeah. So the plan then is to do a little bit more geophysical work and you know, some trenching, other groundwork before going after this area with a drill program. You're covering a wide area, though. Like
it's a big area. That's, you know, that's one of the challenges with it. Do we tackle it all at once, or do we tackle half? We're going to try and get as much as we can done this year. We want to go there next spring with the drills.
Yep.
We've got to get ourselves in a position where we've got targets and know exactly what we're doing. Now, mind you, the targets are visible, but you still just don't want to waste drill money just, you know, punching holes in the ground.
Yeah. What is the total size of your claim area there?
We are 297 square kilometers.
So I would assume there's going to be some pretty good news flow coming out over the next few months prior to the drilling as you do some continued pre-drilling exploration and line up these drill targets.
Yes, correct. Yep.
Yeah. I kind of think, I have the feeling that, you know, this could really be a company-making project for Curry Rose.
To be quite honest with you, I think both our projects are.
Yeah, and not to take anything away from Mabali Hills.
The other thing about Mabali is we've only really explored 25 to 30% of that property, John.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So there's a lot of ground to cover in there, which we're trying to get at also.
Mm-hmm.
So both properties are fantastic properties.
Yeah, you got a lot going for you.
Yeah, we sure do.
Now, we said last week that we would talk a little bit this time about what's happening in Ontario in your venture with TrueClaim. You optioned the Skadding property to TrueClaim Exploration, and that's near Sudbury, a very interesting gold property. Tell us a little bit about that.
That's a very interesting property. I was talking to John this week, so I got a bit of an update from him. The old mine that's there, they took about 28,000 ounces out of it. John had the property from us for a year and a half now, maybe a little longer. They have done a lot of work on it. We got all the blueprints. I mean, we had boxes of data. So what John's company has done is they've taken all that data and produced a 3D model. So they've got a real good picture of all the underground workings there.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And they're pretty confident that there's a deposit underneath the existing existing mine.
So yeah, they're doing a lot of very detailed, very thorough work on that property.
They really are. They really are. They've also defined in the silt zone, which was a bit of an open pit area where they'd done some mining out of,
mm-hmm.
that the dip was going the opposite way that everybody thought.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't have a hole down there, but there was an old hole down there. It was 30 feet of 3.9 grams, so that's mm-hmm. exciting too.
Mm-hmm.
What they're drilling 15 holes right as we speak. 6 of them will be directly on the Skadding property. They've gathered up land around us, of course, too. Then they'll start an 8,000-meter program right on the Skadding property.
We'll be following TrueClaim's progress at Skadding with interest in the weeks ahead. We got a question this morning, Harold, from a BMR reader, perhaps a Curry Rose shareholder, wondering about insider sales reported this past week for Curry Rose. Can you elaborate on that, Harold? I know Pine Tree and its CEO sold some stock, but only a tiny portion of their overall holdings, and I believe Pine Tree is declared an insider simply because it holds more than 10% of Curry Rose stock.
You're absolutely correct, John, why they are considered as an insider. It's TSX rules that anybody who owns 10% more of the stock is considered as an insider. But Pine Tree, even though they're considered as an insider, has no access to information whatsoever.
Mm-hmm.
No more than I'm discussing with you right now.
Mm-hmm.
I saw that they said that they sold some shares. That's their business. You know, they buy company shares and they sell company shares. They've got overhead. They got to pay bills. I'm sure they've got some sort of model where a company goes up a certain percentage, they sell some shares off. It's, you know, if all the stockbrokers had to declare, well, it would be big percentages of insiders selling continuously.
Yeah.
But my only thought to it is they've done 3 private placements with us. They like the company, and I think that's what they do. They buy shares in companies, and they sell some of it off.
And it's not like they sold very much of what they already hold, and who knows? I mean, they may end up actually using those. I'm just speculating here, but they could be using those proceeds to perhaps exercise some warrants and actually increase their share position in Curry Rose Resources.
That's entirely possible.
Yeah,
they've got a lot of warrants, and then maybe that some of the warrants are expiring that they've got in March, and maybe that's what they're doing.
Yeah.
I mean, I wouldn't even think of calling them to ask them. I just consider that's their business, and that's what they do.
Yeah, and in terms of that, there's no other insiders or directors that are currently selling the stock, correct?
Absolutely not.
Yeah.
Not one share. I've never sold a share in my life.
That's encouraging to hear, Harold. And do you have any final comments for us here today?
Well, the only thing, I get a lot of phone calls and emails. How's it going? When are you going to do releases? As soon as we possibly can.
Yeah.
I'm as excited about getting the releases as all the investors are.
Yeah.
As soon as we get them, we will release them.
Yeah. So it looks like there will be strong news flow here. You've got a very good property you're drilling right now. That's exciting. There will be obviously news coming out on that as soon as you're ready to get it out. And you get a lot of things going on. You got some work going on at Sakinke as well. So it's going to be a very active few months coming up here.
It really is. It's going to be very active.
Terrific. Okay, Harold, thank you very much, and we do invite you back for another shot here on BMR in the very near future. You're always welcome back, and we're going to be following this story extremely closely, and it looks like you guys are doing all the right things, and you're building something here very substantial. So thank you again, Harold.
Thank you very much, John.
You've been listening to a special audio interview on bullmarketrun.com. with Harold Smith, President and CEO of Curry Rose Resources, CUI, on the TSX Venture Exchange, on bullmarketrun.com, where we do bring you home run opportunities in the junior resource sector.